We all belong to God. Belonging is defined as a close, intimate relationship. You are loved and cherished by God. God is always with you. Yet sometimes it is hard to perceive God. Sometimes life is lonely, the way confusing, and one feels like they just don't quite fit in. Other times one can feel abandoned. The Pharisees and supporters of Herod lost their sense of belonging to God. They were unable to perceive God's love. They sought belonging in the institution of religion, belonging in the letter of the law, belonging in a political party, belonging in money. Without a sense of belonging to God, they had an identity crisis. Their loneliness festered over time, making them bitter, selfish, and hateful. Their hurt blinded them to Jesus' message of forgiveness, healing, and belonging. Their hurt caused them to hurt others, seeking fleeting comfort in power, money, and legalism. The Gospel of Matthew proclaims, "Then the Pharisees met together to find a way to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to Jesus. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we know that you are genuine and that you teach God's way as it really is. We know that you are not swayed by people's opinions because you don't show favoritism. So tell us, what do you think? Does the law allow people to pay taxes to Caesar or not?' Knowing their evil motives, Jesus replied, 'Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used to pay the tax.' And they brought Jesus a denarian. 'Whose image and inscription is this?' Jesus asked. 'Caesar's,' they replied. Then Jesus said, 'Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God.' When they heard this, they were astonished, and they departed." Give to God what belongs to God. What belongs to God? Everything. Who belongs to God? Everyone. You belong to God. Jesus, full of grace, is always working to heal, redeem, and make whole and unite everyone in love. God's love is steadfast, everlasting, always inviting us into an intimate relationship with God. Jesus came to show everyone that we do indeed belong to God. The Pharisees and supporters of Herod have been hurting people all their life. They have been spreading lies about God. They have driven people away from God by wrongfully welding the letter of the law, ignoring God's grace, ignoring that everyone belongs to God. They come at Jesus in hopes of destroying him, turning the people against him, dividing people into groups and factions, and killing him. Yet, Jesus still seeks to heal them by identifying their misunderstanding, confusion, hurt, loneliness, hate, and sin, so they can let go of all of that, so they can let come God's forgiveness and healing. Jesus does not condemn them. They still, no matter what they do, belong to God. They will always belong to God. Jesus condemns their evil motives. Jesus calls them hypocrites, for their thoughts, life, and actions are all contradictory to God. As religious leaders, they are supposed to know God and be pointing God out to the people. They are supposed to be showing people how everyone belongs to God, how everyone is loved, forgiven, healed, redeemed, and blessed to enjoy abundant life, blessed to be a blessing. Jesus asked them, "Whose image is on this coin?" They reply, "Caesar." Then Jesus said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." Jesus knew that they knew the Scripture well. They know God created humanity in God's image, that each of us is stamped with the very image of God. Each of us is a living visual reminder of our belonging to God. Whenever we love, laugh, serve, relax, we reveal God's image. Whenever we create anything good, from music to a book, from art to a building, from clothing to jewelry, from a cinnamon roll to a poem. Whenever one creates anything good, you can find the image of the Creator in the creation. Jesus gets their attention by reminding them of what they already know, that they are created in the very image of God. In order to heal them, Jesus tells them that you belong to God. Perhaps that's the only words you need to hear this morning, is that you belong to God. You are the very image of God. You are God's beloved child. God created you and designed you specifically to be you. God claims you through Jesus. If you are baptized, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit into God's family for eternity. If you come to the Lord's Supper, then God seats you at your special, honored, cherished place at God's table. God is inviting us to belong to a family of faith to support, encourage, and to point out the beauty, the image of God in each other, to build each other up into the very likeness of Christ. Since everyone belongs to God, God is inviting us to belong to our worldwide family, to serve, to share, and discover the beauty of all people throughout the world. For none of us lives to ourselves, and no one dies to their self. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. God has chiseled out a place in the exact shape of your soul, a safe harbor where you can enjoy God forever. You are an accepted member of God's family. You are a part of the greatest love story. You are helping God resurrect the world. You are created in God's image with special gifts and abilities that only you can provide. You fit perfectly, uniquely into God's family. You are infinitely valuable to God. God has a special place for you in God's family that only you can fulfill. Whenever you're feeling alone, afraid, devalued, or hurting, remind yourself, I belong to God. Carlo Berger writes, I have compiled a short and incomplete list of what belonging to God means to me. I am never alone. When I feel lonely or friendless or afraid, I don't have to feel like one tiny mortal out against the whole world because God is right there with me. I have a friend, an ally, a confidant, no matter where I might find myself. I am loved. God knows my name and my personality. God likes spending time with me and wants to keep me with God forever. I am precious in God's sight. No matter what happens to me, even if I'm caught up in worldly violence or natural disasters, God will seek me out and find me. God is willing to sacrifice for me and to work for my good. I have something to live for. My life has meaning because I live it for God. Even if I am incapable of leaving behind a legacy of success, benevolence, or wealth, I still have the power to make a difference by sharing God's love with others. Following God means living up to my true potential and maximizing my impact on the world. Even if my good works are small, they have meaning because God has given me and my efforts a purpose. I don't have to fear death. Since I belong to God, I'm never going to run out of tomorrows. I can live each day to the fullest without worrying about the future. Even when I die, my soul will live on. When my loved ones die, I will get to see them again in heaven. I am part of a bigger picture. I don't have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. God's taking care of that for me. I don't have to be some kind of superhero because God is already in charge of saving the world. Being a normal person is okay because God is making sure that my contributions are being integrated into a greater whole, and that gives meaning to the small things that I do. We are all in this together, so I don't have to feel the pressure of being God's extra special child or something. I have lots of brothers and sisters, and God loves us all and doesn't put shattering expectations on any of us. Kayla concludes, realizing that I belong to God helps me feel free to just be me. Take some time to compile your own list of what belonging to God means to you. Well, perhaps you already know all of this and are secure in your certainty that you do indeed belong to God. Then perhaps God's word to you today is a little bit more challenging. Perhaps it's the second part, to give to God what belongs to God. Peter declared, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of God who called you out of darkness into God's wonderful light." Give to God yourself, all that you are and all that you have, for you belong to God. We don't know exactly where the Pharisees and the supporters of Herod went off track. It was either in their failure to realize that being created in the image of God meant that they belonged to God, or it was in their failure to give to God. Belonging is an intimate relationship. An intimate relationship is only possible when both sides are loving and giving. Clearly, God is always loving and giving to us. Are you loving and giving back to God? Later that same day, Jesus said to the Pharisees, the supporters of Herod, all the people, to disciples, to us, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Eugene Peterson interprets this, "You must love God with all your passion, prayer, and intelligence." The primary benefit of loving God is for you. Love is the most excellent way to live. Love enables you to give. Love reciprocates, nurtures your intimate relationship with God. Giving to God sets us free from being controlled by the world, enslaved by a coin. Giving to God sets us free from searching for belonging in stuff. Jesus gives us back ourselves, polishes God's good image within us, restores our intimate relationship with God, our belonging with God, which our failure to love, our failure to give, our mistakes and hurts, distorts and tarnishes. Jesus forgives, is washing us clean, is loving us into health, and will ultimately love us in the glorious eternal life of God. Giving to God freely and joyfully of all we have and all we are makes tangible to oneself their intimate relationship with God. Giving to God shows us that we do indeed belong to God. Romans declares, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." Jesus said, give to God what belongs to God. In every one of the Apostle Paul's letter, you can find the section that describes our belonging to God and encourages us to love God and directs us to give ourselves to God. Listen for these elements in the letter Paul wrote from 1 Thessalonians. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. "We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful works, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be God's own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you, from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received a message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere. Wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus whom God raised from the dead. Jesus is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. We need to keep reminding each other and ourselves that we belong to God and to give to God what belongs to God. Even Moses needed to be reminded. The complaining of the people, the hard life in the wilderness, the uncertainty of the exact way to the promised land overwhelmed Moses and was eroding his belief that he belonged to God. Moses had plenty of proof that he belonged to God. You know, there was that burning bush thing. That was pretty neat. And God promised to always be with Moses. And oh yeah, there was that deliverance from Egypt with all those mighty plagues and miracles and crossing the Red Sea and a guiding pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day and manna and water and quail. You would think that Moses would be certain that he belonged to God. Moses grasped the concept that he needed to love and give to God. Moses served God by leading the people, and he nurtured his relationship with God through prayer. But maybe you can identify with Moses, for he still longed for more assurance that he belonged to God. And he wanted a clear, detailed plan, probably a map too, of exactly what he is to do, where he is to go, who he is to love, and how he is to give. Listen to this exchange between Moses and God. Moses said to God, "Look, you tell me, lead this people, but you don't let me know whom you're going to send with me. You tell me, I know you well and you are special to me. If I am so special to me, let me in on your plans. That way I will continue being special to you. Don't forget, this is your people, your responsibility." God said, "My presence will go with you. I'll see the journey to the end." Moses said, "If your presence doesn't take the lead here, call this trip off right now. How else will it be known that you're with me in this, with me and your people? Are you traveling with us or not? How else will we know that we're special, and I and your people among all other people on this planet Earth?" God said to Moses, "All right, just as you say, this also I will do. For I know you well, and you are special to me. I know you by name." Moses said, "Please let me see your glory." God said, "I will make my goodness pass right in front of you. I'll call out the name of God right before you. I'll treat well whoever I want to treat well, and I'll be kind to whomever I want to be kind." God continued, "But you may not see my face. No one can see me and live." God said, "Look, here is a place right beside me. Put yourself on this rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll take my hand away and you'll see my back, but you won't see my face." Notice that God did not reveal precise plans, timelines, and directions to Moses. No map was given. God did not reveal the future glory of God, which we will indeed see when we get to heaven with God for eternity. God did call out God's name, and God did pass by, revealing God's goodness. Now, the Hebrew language and imagery here means that God revealed profound intimacy, presence, purpose, identity, deserved reputation, belonging to God. Give to God what belongs to God. You belong to God. Amen.